This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
If your roof starts to leak or your floor's really squeaky, live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I'm calling 888 Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by Caseta by Lutron. Now here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
We want to wish each and every one of you a very happy new year. Yes, we've come to the end of 2018, 2019. Now on the horizon, I'm sure chock-a-block full with projects on your end. Have you been thinking about your to-do list for the year ahead? Have you set up any home improvement resolutions? Are you planning to do your kitchen this year? Maybe your outdoor spaces? Whatever's on that to-do list, we'd love to hear from you right now. We'll talk about how to get it done, how to pay for it, how to make sure it comes out right. If you can't do it yourself, I'll have tips on how to hire a pro. All that awaits you at 1-888-MONEYPIT. So pick up the phone and give us a call right now. And coming up on today's show, the days are getting darker for sure. So we're going to share some tips on a new app that allows you to dim any type of light bulb. We're talking about mixed lights here, like CFLs and LEDs and incandescents all at the same time, right from your phone. That's coming up in just a bit.
And also ahead, are you ready to give your back a break this winter and, you know, finally buy that snowblower? Well, there are so many options out there. So how do you know which one is the best one for you? We're going to share some expert tips.
Plus, speaking of snow, we're going to have some tips on how to prevent snow and ice damage, including our own recipe to stop slippery sidewalks from forming without destroying your concrete in the process.
But first, we want to hear from you, so let us know what you are planning on working on this 2019. What have you got on your calendar? We're here to help.
The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974. Let's get to it. Leslie, who's first?
We've got Carol on the line from Oregon. How can we help you today?
Well, I've got a problem. I should know better, but I have rented to people who brought in a puppy.
Okay.
And I've got to deal with lots of urine, fecal. It's damage that's probably been on there too long, too deep, gone through the carpet to the pad to the subfloor. So my question is, can the stain ever be removed? I'm thinking I should just take everything up. My question would be what to put down new, replace the subfloor, solution, like people have said something about kills and something like Z-Mix or something like
that. Well, I mean, it really depends. If you even want to attempt salvaging the rug that's there, I mean, generally with a rental situation, you're probably better off with a tile or a laminate floor just because of cleanability and then let the folks bring in their own area rugs. But if you want to attempt to sort of get the stain away, get the odor away, there's a product that I used when I was training our dog who was untrainable for the first year. And it's on a website called Just Right, and it's RITE.com, and it's called 123 Odor Free. And it's like a series of different products. One's a stain remover, one's an odor remover, and it sort of neutralizes through enzymes. And there's like an injector that you use to get through the carpet and into the padding and into the subfloor. And I kid you not, it works because there was a spot at the top of the steps that Daisy just loved and no problems to this day. So you might want to try that. However, if there is a lot of stuff to deal with, your best bet is probably to just pull everything off, and you're right about wanting to seal that subfloor, because if you don't put, you know, a primer, a good one, on top of it, whatever you put on top, get a humid day, and you're going to notice it.
Yeah, right. So that's why, Carol, what you want to do is use an oil-based primer like a Kills or a Bin. There are a number of different, you know, primers out there, but I would use the oil-based ones for a problem like this because they're going to do a better job of sealing in odor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if I do decide to put down a rug, because this is a house I would like to sell future forward, it's a nice house, is there a type of rug that can better be cleaned?
Okay, yeah. It is from Mohawk, and it's a carpet that they call Smart Strand, and it's got built-in stain and soil resistant that's never, never, never going to wear off or wash off or clean off, and it feels soft, and it's environmentally friendly because it's made in part with, you know, like a recycled plastic. And I think it was last year at the Builder Show, Tom and I were at the event, and they were just launching this Smart Strand product, and they had taken, you know, carpeting and carpeted the pen of an elephant at the zoo and left it in there for a year and then took it off, cleaned it, and, like, you know, brought a patch in and, like, had half under the cover of glass and half out. And there was, like, a little door that you could open up to the dirty side. And, like, you open that up. And, of course, I didn't smell because I always do strange things like that. And it, like, reeked horribly, and the side that was cleaned was beautiful, clean, soft, smelled fantastic. So I'm not really sure about the price point, but it is an amazing product, and it available, you know, in a lot of different looks, different piles. So I would start with Mohawk there, Smart Strand.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Kevin in Texas is dealing with a dangerous situation. You've got water leaking through a light in your kitchen?
I actually live in an apartment, but nevertheless, my concerns are, you know, obviously, you know, valid for my health and so forth. All of a sudden, the water started coming through the light fixture in the kitchen, and I threw down buckets and went up and knocked on the gentleman upstairs' door, and turned out his washing machine had gone crazy and had put a bunch of water in my ceiling, that most of which came right through the light fixture, point of least resistance. However, I can tell that it got into the rest of the ceiling. There's a place where this living room is bowed in, you know, with a stain, so I know that they got wet up inside there. And furthermore, the guy, when he was made aware of it, apparently thought that it wouldn't act up anymore and actually turned on his washing machine again and went and stepped into the shower, and so it just, you know, leaked profusely until we could finally get his attention. Me and maintenance, you know, I mean, we're sitting there with shop vac, buckets and mops, and just shaking our heads.
Wow.
So it was a one-time event, so it wasn't an ongoing leak. And I was wondering what my risks are of black mold. Is there a test? Is there a preventative? You know, what's the story with that?
Yeah, it's a good question. But here's the good news. A single leak like that happened and then dried out is not going to become an ongoing mold problem. If it stays wet for a long, long time, and especially if it's in an unheated place, it's more likely to become a mold problem. But a single leak like that is not. And also, one more point, and that is, you mentioned that your ceiling bowed. If, and I hope it doesn't, but if that ever happens to you again, what you want to do is somewhat counterintuitive, but that is to poke a hole in the ceiling wherever you see that water starting to form. Because it's easier to fix a hole than it is to replace the entire ceiling, which is probably what will end up having to be done. But when you see water coming through like that, what you should do is grab a screwdriver and just poke a couple of holes until you find the spot where the water just starts dripping out. The quicker you can empty that ceiling of water, the better off you're going to be. And, you know, we had a problem like that not too long ago because of a piece of flashing that blew off our roof. And the first thing I did was took a Phillips screwdriver and poked three or four holes until I found the right spot. All that water drained right out, and all I had to do was fix those holes, and didn't even have a stain on the ceiling when we were done.
Wow. Yeah, that's good advice there. I guess I should have thought of that, but, you know, when you're renting, you're
you don't know, and that's why I always take the opportunity to mention it, because it's first of all, you don't have the experience, because thankfully people don't get these kinds of leaks, but secondly, it's very counterintuitive, because, you know, you don't want to damage your ceiling. Well, it's already damaged once that water's behind it, and it's going to get a lot worse really fast unless you poke a hole in it.
Good point, though. Good point. All right. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT, 888-666-3974.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, on air and online at MoneyPit.com. What are you working on in this new year? Whatever it is, we want to give you a hand so you can get that project off to a fantastic start, just like this brand new year. So give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
888-666-3974. Up next,
What are your plans for projects for 2019? We'd love to know. Give us a call at 888 Money Pit. Are you setting up some New Year's resolutions for your home? We'll share some of ours after this.
Live in a money pit.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by Caseta by Lutron Smart Lighting Control. You can set your lights to come on at dusk so your family always comes back to a well-lit home. Caseta by Lutron. Welcome home to peace of mind.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And Happy New Year. It is that time of year where we get to kick off. We get to rejoice about everything we got done this past year. But we also get to kick off our projects, or at least plan them for the year ahead. And I've been thinking a lot about what I want to take on in my Money Pit. And I think that this is the year, Leslie, that we're going to do the kitchen.
Are you really?
It's not an easy kitchen, though, I got to tell you, because, you know, I have a really old house and I got a really weird shape to the kitchen because the stair to the basement kind of goes through the middle of it, sort of in a way. It's kind of like an L shape kitchen. The floor is grossly out of level, as most homes that are 100 plus years old, you know, of this age, right, are. So, and it's, you know, it's got a, not a very tall ceiling. So I got to think about whether or not what I want to do first. Do I want to level the floor? Do I want to add on to it? Do I want to take away to kind of drop it down and level it? Do I want to use a leveling compound?
No, are you going to do the work yourself or are you going to hire out parts?
No, I think I'll do most of this myself. I'm kind of thinking of the structural mechanical side of it and I haven't even thought about the design yet, but I think it's going to be sort of whitish, sort of farmhousey kind of a look. It sort of fits the house, but it's such an old house. There's all kinds of surprises I know that I'm going to have to deal with as well as the problems I already know exist. So it's a bold project. It's definitely my New Year's resolution. I'm committing to it right now. We'll see what happens.
I should have bought you a slow cooker for Christmas. Then you would have been able to make your food in any room in the house.
Because I'll be living off outlet cooking for a while, right?
I don't know. I tell you, Tom, every year I hope that this is going to be the year that I move. And I haven't found the right house. It's always a combination of, is it something I can afford with affordable taxes? But then how much work needs to be done? How much is the work I can tackle myself? Can I live in it while I do the work? So right. There's so many different things that I have to sort of factor in finding the right house for me and the boys, and nothing has fit the bill. And truly, when you are a single person trying to purchase a home in the area that I live in, it's not an easy task. I can't tell you. I've been outbid twice and outbid by, you know, tons of money. Like, I just can't even compete. So I hope that I can find something that will work for us this year, because I would really love a fresh start in a new house.
Well, I hope you do too, because then we're gonna have a whole bunch of new projects to talk about.
So many projects.
888-666-3974. We want to hear about your projects. Give us a call right now. Who's next?
Kathy in South Carolina, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
I have a problem with the squirrels chewing into my roof.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what can I repair this with, and what can I put in there to keep them out?
Now, where are they chewing it? Are they chewing through the trim or the soffits, trying to get into the attic space? What's the story?
Well, they have gotten into the attic space.
The holes, are you repairing those holes, or what are you doing?
No, I was calling you to see how you could help me, because I listen to your show all the time and you give such good advice.
Well, if they get into your attic, you can trap them and release them. You can use something called a have a heart trap. And this is a trap that is a wire cage with a trap door
And the way to bait it is to take an apple and put it in the far end of the cage and wire the apple to the cage. Don't just put it in there. But usually I'll take like a hanger or a piece of picture frame wire or something like that, and I'll thread it through the apple and wire it off so that it can't bounce around. And if they're in the attic, they'll come looking for that food. They'll get trapped in there. Then you can pick the whole cage up and take it far away from your house and then release them. And believe me, as soon as you lift the door up, they're like out like a light. They just fly right out there and they'll take off. They want nothing to do with you, so it's completely safe. Now, in terms of those holes, you have to repair them. Now, you can put, if it's a small hole, you could put steel wool in it or something like that. But if it's a bigger hole, you really should simply rebuild it or repair it, whatever it takes. So if it's, you know, it's wood or if it's vinyl or if it's metal soffit material, you really just need to completely rebuild that. And then the other thing I'll mention that seems to have been pretty effective over the years, and that is if you were to put mothballs down in your attic, that does seem to have a deterring effect on the squirrels as well. So if you spread them...
Mm-hmm. It will, though. That odor does seep into the house, so don't go crazy with it.
Right. You sprinkle them in there. Yeah. Especially along the eaves.
But is there anything else I can put up there to keep more from coming in?
Well, we want to identify the holes and get those fixed. It's really an entry issue. You've got to basically close the door on them here. And so if we can identify those holes and those entry points and seal them up, then you shouldn't have a problem with squirrels. They don't naturally live in the attic, but they're obviously finding a way into your house. If you're not quite sure where they're getting in, you obviously can't get in there, up there, to kind of look that closely, then work from the street level, walking around the outside of the house and looking up. Try to get a pair of binoculars or borrow one and see if you can spot the holes where they're getting in. But that's what has to be closed up.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
You're very welcome.
Well, as the days are getting darker, you might be interested to know about a new smart home product that allows you to dim any type of light bulb right from your phone. It's called Caseta by Lutron, and that's just one of the many things that it can do.
Yeah, and the difference is it puts that smart lighting control right at the switch, not at the bulb. Now, think about it. That means you can control all the lights on that same switch, not just one bulb at a time, which is a lot of these smart lighting products are like that. They just do one bulb at a time. But this is much better because you can do all of that, the entire lighting set, from the free Lutron app. So I like that.
Now, what Caseta does is it makes those lights come on night after night, exactly at dusk, even as the seasons change. So you don't constantly have to go back in and reset the timer. It has a built-in sunset tracker, and that's going to adjust the schedule so that when you're not home, those lights will still come on at dusk, and it's never going to keep you in the dark.
That is very cool. It also integrates seamlessly with all the leading smart home devices, and that makes it simple to expand the system over time. The Lutron Caseta Wireless Smart Lighting Dimmer Switch Starter Kit starts at $99. You can learn more at CasetaWireless.com at CasetaWireless.com.
Pete in Illinois, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Well, I got lime deposits in my toilets, and I've got probably five toilets in my house that I'd like to get them out of it. You know, they're around the upper part of the rim where the water comes out,
okay,
and then down in the bowl. And I've tried Lime Away, and I tried the vinegar soak. Maybe I just didn't do it long enough, but I'd like to find a way to get those lime deposits out of there and get my toilets looking nice.
Have you tried CLR?
Yes, I have.
You have tried CLR, and CLR didn't do it either?
Didn't do it, no.
Well, Pete, if the commercial cleaners like CLR and Lime Away are not working, there's a couple other things that you can try, but you have to be very careful. One of them is to use something that's abrasive, like pumice, or like a rubbing compound. And you can try to abrade away the deposit. Theoretically, these abrasives are softer than the porcelain, but you have to do it very carefully. You don't want to rough the surface of the porcelain, because if you do, it'll get dirtier that much quicker the next time around. Some folks also use muriatic acid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to recommend that because it's pretty harsh stuff. And, you know, you got to be super, super careful when you use it. But it is it is a possibility as well. And then, you know, the other thing that you can try is you did use vinegar, but I don't know if you mixed it with baking soda.
Yeah, because that helps.
That helps as well. You kind of make it into a paste and let it stand for a while, and then you rinse it.
Okay.
So there's a couple of additional things that you can try. I also found a great article online. Whenever you find an article from a university or an extension service, it's usually pretty well researched. And if you just Google removing mineral deposits and North Carolina Cooperative, you'll find it. And it's an extensive article that's a little old, but has a lot of great suggestions in it, and specifically has solutions for the different types of deposits that you get on these fixtures, whether it's rust, iron, copper, you know, what kinds of stain it is, and so on.
That sounds great. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Wishing you a very happy new year, and thanks so much for calling the Money Pit. Hey, are you ready to give your back a break and buy a snowblower? Well, with so many options, it can be kind of confusing. So how do you know which one's the best one for you? We're going to share some expert tips next. Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about, but unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi-connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS, known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com, that's AquaTrue.com, and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code MONEYPIT, MONEYPIT.
The Money Pit is presented by Caseta by Lutron Smart Lighting Control. You can set your lights to come on at dusk, so your family always comes back to a well-lit home. Caseta by Lutron. Welcome home to peace of mind.
Making good homes better. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show, where we make good homes better. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Pick up the phone right now and give us a call. We want to talk about your New Year resolution projects. It's a project that you've thought about tackling this coming year. We're here to help you get those jobs done, as well as any fix-ups that are going on right now in your home. The number again is 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Well, when I was a kid, I was the snow thrower. But these days, shoveling snow is a chore that I'd rather avoid. I mean, my allowance doesn't get any kind of boost for doing that job.
Well, I sympathize with you because my snow shoveling staff is dwindling because my kids are away at college. So I guess both of us could use a machine that can tackle the job quickly and without a ton of effort. But with so many mechanical snow removal machines on the market, how do you begin to choose? To help us, we welcome Roger Cook, the landscaping contractor for This Old House. Roger, welcome.
Thank you. First of all, have you tried to hire a kid nowadays to shovel?
You can't find them.
No, and they're pricey.
They want like $50.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Remember, I got paid in candy bars one time.
Remember that?
I think I might still do it for candy, but I'm just saying.
So first, tell me what's the difference between a snow thrower and a snow blower?
Basically, it's stages. A snow thrower is a single stage machine. It has a blade that's turning very quickly that scoops the snow and throws it out the front of the machine.
Okay.
A snow blower. A snow blower is a 2-stage machine where a blade turns slowly and feeds the snow into an impeller, which is moving very quickly, which sends the snow out of the machine.
Okay, so I guess a snow
lower is good for heavier snowfalls.
Exactly.
Because you're taking that snow and I guess probably more hard-packed snow and icy snow and grinding it up, essentially.
Right, so that it's being brought into the machine, grinded up, and then pushed out very fast.
Now, there's a third version of this called a three-stage snow blower.
Yeah.
That's sort of like both on steroids or what?
Pretty much. If you have a double-wide driveway with a big snowplow mound at the end of it,
right,
this three-stage machine will throw it. And they say up to 50 feet, so make sure you're careful of the neighbors.
Good point.
Okay. Is there one that's better for a different type of surface or perhaps an amount of area, depth of snow?
Here is. You think about, we start from the least amount of snow up to the most.
Okay.
A snow thrower, the single stage one, is good for maybe 8 to 10 inches of snow at the most because the opening on those machines is not very big. And if snow gets higher than that, you can't get the machine through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not great on heavy, wet snow, and it's not great on the end of the driveway snowbank. That's for sure.
Those snow trucks that come in, and after you've done a beautiful job shoveling, fill it back in for you.
They exactly know just when they're done and they're coming.
Perfectly timed always, right?
With like icebergs that weigh 80,000 pounds.
Right, but that's where the two-stage one, the snow blower, comes into place. That actually feeds the auger with that heavy, wet snow,
mm-hmm,
and then throws it out. So it can chew up and eat much more denser, higher, or even snowplow-packed snow.
But will that work on a low quantity of snow as well, or do you have to have a combination of the two?
It will. It'll do a good job. But usually when you have least amount of snow, you want that thrower because it's really quick and easy. The mm-hmm thing with a snow thrower is if you have a gravel driveway, it'll dig down in and you'll be sending stone everywhere and cleaning it up all spring long.
Okay.
So.
Now, besides the snow thrower and the two-stage machine, the snow blower, there's also a three-stage snow blower. You got to have a pretty serious storm for that.
Yeah, you must live in Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just a big machine. I mean, this thing is made to clean a double-wide driveway with a big plow blow up in the end, and they say it'll throw snow 50 feet.
Wow.
So
wow.
Be careful of your neighbor's
careful
house.
Careful what you ask for,
yeah,
right? Exactly. So I guess the question is, how do you choose between the options? It's really down to the amount of snow you need to clear?
Yes, it is. There's just knowing what you're going to have to do. I mean, we don't want to be undersized, but we don't want to pay extra money and be oversized either. So let's start with we talked about the snow thrower. That's good. Maybe, like I said, 8 to 10 inches of light snow, it'll go through. But once it gets beyond that, and again, there's going to be times where it'll fit perfectly for the amount of snow you have, but Mother Nature doesn't always give you the same amount of snow and the same density.
No, she does not.
So it's better to oversize a little bit than it is to undersize.
Yeah, bigger is always better.
That's what we say, don't we?
Do you find that the way it's fueled sort of impacts the power or, you know, the aggressiveness of the snow blower slash thrower?
They're both gas powered for the most part. There are some electrical ones out there. For the most part, they're gas powered in the size of the gas engine. The snow mm-hmm thrower has a very small engine. The two-stage snow blower has a much bigger engine on it.
Will you find electric options in both?
You will. I have a little, we call it a power shovel.
Power shovel? Okay.
Yeah, for the snow. You plug it in, and you just go out on your deck, and it takes care of 4 to 6 inches of snow like that.
Wow.
It's amazing. But once it gets over that, you're lifting it up, and then it gets really heavy, and you can't do anything with it. The same thing, again, even an electric snow blower will work fine in a small amount of snow.
So, Roger, if you want this snow blower or thrower to work when you really need it, what kind of maintenance do we have to do to keep it running?
Well, you want to do the maintenance in the fall before the snow comes,
mm-hmm,
not being out there during a snowstorm trying to get everything going again. Make sure you have a new spark plug or at least a clean spark plug in it. But the most important thing is the fuel. I like to bake and make up a batch of fuel right before winter that has stabilizer in it. So that fuel will stay good all winter long. The worst thing you can do is put aged gas that's not treated in the machine because it won't start.
Mm-hmm. And how long will the fuel last with stabilizer?
3 to 6 months, depending on what you use. And then one other key thing to remember is that in the two-stage models, they have shear pins in the blades that turn, and if they hit something, it'll break the shear pin. So always have a few of those extra hanging around.
Let's talk about safety. That's going to be very, very important when you're using a snow blower and probably snow thrower as well. But you've got very powerful blades that are spinning with those machines.
I still can't believe every year how many people are injured by sticking their hands inside a snow thrower or
blower. This blade is stuck. Let me free it with my hand.
Yeah, not a good idea. Never, ever put your hand inside of the machine. All the machines nowadays come with a small plastic shovel, or you can take a piece of wood or something. If it does get clogged, shut it off. Go in there with a tool or the wooden stick, get that loosened material, get it out, and then start it up and make sure it's cleared again. Do not ever put your hand inside a machine.
Good advice. Roger Cook from TV's This Old House with tips on how to pick the perfect snow blower or thrower for your house.
Hey, have a lot of fun in the snow. I'm going to Florida.
All right, you can catch the current season of This Old House and Ask This Old House on PBS. For local listings and step-by-step videos of many common home improvement projects, visit thisoldhouse.com.
And This Old House is brought to you on PBS by State Farm. Just ahead, we've got some tips on how to prevent snow and ice damage, including our recipe to stop slippery sidewalks from forming without destroying the concrete in the process. That's all coming up after this.
You live in a body pit.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Where home solutions live, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
What are you working on? Well, today probably not so much since it's the New Year's weekend, basically. But if you're thinking about a project for the year ahead, this is your chance to get through on the phones at 1-888-MONEYPIT because everybody's busy this weekend. So there's plenty of room for you to get through to those lines at 888-666-3974. Give us a call right now with your how-to question, your DIY dilemma. Is it a project you could do yourself? Do you need to get a contractor? How do you find a good contractor? How do I build a deck? How do I improve my patio? I got a tough spot I'm trying to paint. You know, anything that's going on in your house, that's a project that you want to get done to make it beautiful, to make it comfortable, to make it energy efficient. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Keith in New York, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
What I have is I have an oil-fired boiler system that does hot water baseboard heating and also heats my hot water. And I have a well. And my question is whether I can actually divert water off of the well system from the boiler and put in an electric hot water heater system because oil is so expensive now.
So you want to stop heating your domestic hot water in the boiler and instead heat it via an electric water heater?
Yes, whether it's just a regular hot water heater or an instant hot. And that doesn't concern me, but I want to try using a little less oil.
You absolutely can do that. And when it comes to choosing the right electric water heater, you want to make sure that you're choosing one that's as energy efficient as possible. And they do have some electric water heaters that are heat pump water heaters today. And they use a fraction of the electricity that the traditional tank water heaters use, but they're more expensive. You know, if you get a good quality heat pump water heater, you'll be very happy because that water will be far less expensive than what's costing you now to run the boiler with the oil. I understand what you're saying. It's a very inefficient way to heat your house. Now, the other thing that you could do is do you have a storage tank on that boiler?
I have a pressurized storage tank that serves the domestic water. I don't know if that's
right. Is it look big? Is it like 30, 40 gallons?
It's 40 gallons, yes.
It's oil fired?
It's oil fired, yes. Comes directly off the boiler.
Yeah. When you say directly off the boiler, it's separate from the boiler, or it's the hot water is heated through the boiler?
No, it's separate from the boiler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, then, you know, my original answer applies. You can replace that with an electric water heater, either a standard one or a heat pump unit. If you can't afford the heat pump unit and you're going to use the standard electric water heater, make sure you put it on a timer because you don't need to run it 24/7. You could set it to go off in the middle of the night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be very good.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, if you get a bad storm, you got to stay on top of the snow removal. The longer you wait, the heavier it gets, and your sidewalks are not going to be safe, and you're going to get ice. So the key is to shovel those walkways and driveways right after it happens, because the longer you wait, the heavier it does get.
That's right. So after shoveling, you should also apply salt to melt any ice on the walkways and the steps. But you've got to choose the right salt. That's really important, guys, because the wrong salt can cause a whole bunch of damage. Now, traditional rock salt is going to work, but as I said, it's corrosive because of what it's made out of. And that's going to leave your concrete pitted and worn. And truly, while that salt is going to work great, it's just going to make that concrete look terrible.
Yeah, and it's funny because we will get the calls from all of you folks use rock salt in about 2 months. It happens every year. Every year we get calls about how to fix this. It's better to avoid it. So the product you do want to use is calcium chloride. Now, it's far less corrosive. It's not going to harm your sidewalks or your indoor floors when it's tracked into the house. It's really the best approach. Now, here's a recipe that we use at our house. You want to mix a bag of that calcium chloride with sand, playground sand, the kind you buy at the home center, and then keep it in a container near your front door. I do that at both the front and the back door. I have some of those 5 gallon buckets and I mix it up sort of 5 gallons at a time. Just keep like turning it and it works great. So convenient to have it there. And this way the sand gives you a little traction on the ice while the calcium chloride melts it, and it does not destroy your sidewalks in the process. So
yeah, and expands the amount of salt that you have for the entire season by mixing it with the sand. So it's so smart.
Now, you got to read the bags, right? Because it comes from a lot of manufacturers, but you're looking for calcium chloride. That's the best way to go.
Linda in Rhode Island, you've got the money, but how can we help you today?
Yes, this is an old house. And in the basement on the wall, which was Fieldstone, in the past they had painted it with whitewash, or that's what it was called back then. Right. And no matter what kind of paint I've applied, it flakes off.
Mm. Yeah, because it's damp and wet, that's why. Yeah, you know, you can't just, if you put any kind of regular paint on that, it's going to do that. You have to use a basement wall paint. It's a lot stickier, and it can handle the dampness of that wall. Now, you could also take steps to reduce the dampness by improving your drainage outside. But if you put typical wall paint on the stone, it is going to flake off because water and paint don't go well together. And those stones are like little sponges, and the paint's just going to peel right off of it. So what you want to use is a basement wall paint. And it's really smelly, but it's really sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's going to stick to where you need it.
It will last a lot longer. Does that make sense, Linda?
Oh, it certainly does.
Just ahead, we're going to solve a mystery for one of our followers. Andrew is seeing mysterious black stripes on his ceiling and wants to know what the heck is going on. We're going to have that answer and more after this.
You live in a body pit.
Making good homes better. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
So we've got some questions here from our listeners. And was it Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler in Oregon. He's up. Now, Tyler writes, I have a very, very large tree between my house and my detached garage. So large that cutting it down does not seem like an option without damaging one of the structures. What is the best way to safely remove this tree?
You're absolutely right. It is in fact piece by piece, Leslie, because you can't do this kind of job yourself, because you literally have to disassemble the tree from the top down. That can only be done by a tree service with the appropriate equipment, which includes a bucket truck and a crane. I've seen this done. I've had large trees near buildings, and it's amazing to watch these guys work, because they pretty much will hold on to one of the branches with the crane, and then the tradesman gets up there with a chainsaw, cuts it off. It gently disconnects. They swing it out of the way. They can swing it up and over buildings. They can swing it over power lines. They drop it down to the street, and then they grind it up and put it on a truck and take it away. So this is not, Tyler, a job that you should do yourself. And while they're there, I would opt for them to grind out the stump. Now, you can get rid of a stump on your own. That's usually sort of an additional charge, but it takes a long, long time. There's several methods to do it. We've got a great article about how to do it on moneypit.com, but essentially you have to drill it out. You have to treat it with one of a number of different over-the-counter products, or you can use salt because it promotes degradation, but it takes like over a year for the thing to completely rot out, maybe even
if not,
maybe
more.
If not longer, right? So I would definitely, you're going to have the guys out there with the equipment. I'd definitely have them grind it out at the same time, and then you'd be good to go. And believe me, it will happen in a very short period of time. We're talking like hours if it's a big tree.
It's amazing. And Tyler, this is the kind of case where you really need to find the right pro for the job. So definitely do your research, interview a couple of different vendors, make sure you check their references, because you want to make sure you've got somebody that's going to do a fantastic job and do it correctly. So don't go for the cheapest bid. Find the right person for you. All right, next up, we've got a post here from Andrew in Buffalo. Now, Andrew writes, in the last few years, my 12-year-old house has developed dark areas where the sheetrock was screwed to the trusses. This is only at the outer edges where the ceiling meets the wall. I assume this has to do with the cold winters. Should I be worried, and should I seal the spots and then paint?
You're correct. That has to do with the cold winters. You should not be worried. And yes, you should seal the spots with paint. But essentially what's happening is you have identified correctly that this is the cold area of the house. And because heat rises, as the heat in your house rises, it carries up with it any dust or dirt that's in the air. And over time, that dirty air, so to speak, is going to sort of wash against that cold spot, which is where the framing sits on the outside wall. It's a very hard place to insulate, right? And because of that continual convection, that continual washing of the dirty air up to that spot, you get the dark deposits. You often see this behind radiators too, because of the same reason. That convective loop pulls that hot air up and moves that air against the wall. And wherever it's cold, it tends to kind of stick. And it gets a little bit dirty. So nothing to worry about. You can clean it, prime it, paint it, and you will be good to go.
Now, Andrew, don't worry. This doesn't mean that you keep a messy house. It's just truly what goes on in every single house. It just happens to be the way the airflow is in your house. But that said, if you put a better filter into the HVAC system in your home, you'll probably see far less of this recurring in the future. Easy fix. Go for the best quality filter you can.
You are listening to the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. Hey, thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. We hope that we've given you some ideas, some inspiration for projects that you're going to want to tackle in the year ahead. We're here to guide you, coach you, encourage you, and hopefully keep you out of DIY trouble. Remember, you can reach out to us at 888-MONEY-PIT 24/7 or post your questions to the Money Pit's website at moneypit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself.
But you don't have to do it alone.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.